Family, happy June to all of you. June holds lots of good things, one of which is a bunch of birthdays. My birthday's in June, but that's a little later. But you know, I thought I'd embarrass a couple people today. I know, and I'm sure I'm going to miss maybe somebody else's birthday, but there are two birthdays I know of for sure. So we need to sing happy birthday for Liz Weed and my daughter-in-law, Erica. Is Erica in here? She's not in here, is she? We don't get to embarrass her, but we'll sing happy birthday to them real quickly. So when you get to the part where you fill in the name, it's Liz and Erica. So here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Liz and Erica. Happy birthday to you. All right. Yeah, you can clap. I want you to open up your other songbook today. I know that you don't maybe know that you have another songbook. It's found in your Bible, the book of Psalms. And I want you to open to the 70th chapter, if you will. Psalm chapter 70 and chapter 71. We're going to be looking at several verses in that vicinity this morning. Psalm chapter 70 and chapter 71. Can we go to the next slide? It's not working. All right. We'll eventually get this worked out. So if you want to follow along with the sermon today, there is an outline in the bulletin at the open. If you open the bulletin up, the first page, you'll see the outline there. We'll be looking again at the Psalms today. I'll tell you what, I love to sing songs of praise. How about you? Amen? It's great. I mean, worship is a good feeling, and especially those songs that we call praise and worship songs. Those are really some gems. Praise and worship songs are the songs that help us to tell God how great He is, how awesome His power is, His greatness and love. These are songs that celebrate the awesomeness of God. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Oh, worship the King. I mean, we have some really good selections in our songbook that help us to praise God. These are songs that I think, really, I'll just put it this way, they make a big deal out of God. I like that phrase, make a big deal out of God. I mean, we all make a big deal out of everything from time to time. We make a big deal about a lot of things in our lives. Can we go to the next slide, please? Each day has its own headlines, its own top stories. And the question is, really, what is it going to be in your life? The question is, what are you going to make a big deal out of in life? You know lots of people in your life that make a big deal about certain things. I mean, we make a deal. Some of you are sports fanatics. Some of you make a big deal out of movies or art or books I know a lady that collects skunks. Seriously, I mean, she has porcelain skunks. She has stuffed animal skunks. Mugs with a skunk on it. She has a glass case where she keeps all this skunk stuff, you know? I know of people that make a big deal out of Coca-Cola, you know, the big rival between Pepsi and Coke, right? And people that buy t-shirts and baseball caps, you know, Coca-Cola. I have to, I'm on the Coke side, by the way. If you're a Pepsi person, I might still accept you, but anyway. But a lot of people make a big deal about a Coca-Cola. So, you know, we make a big deal about a lot of different things in life. Some people make a big deal out of cleanliness and orderliness. And those of you out there that know me, you know that's not me. Now, Brazil might be different. Yes, she keeps things clean, but I know how to mess things up. But some people make a big deal out of cleanliness and orderliness. Today, what I want to do is I want to get you to thinking about how you, in your life, can make a big deal out of God. So that's what we're going to be focused on this morning. I'm going to be asking you today in this lesson to put God in the middle of your problems, to put God at the center of your conversations, and to make God the target of your praise. And so those are the three things we're going to consider this morning. Now, there are actually some great verses in the Bible. We'll get this straight here. There's some great verses in the Bible that call us to make a big deal about God. And I want to focus on one of them today. I want you to notice this psalm here. In Psalm chapter 70 and verse 40, I love this verse. It says, let those who love your salvation. Let me ask you a question. Do you love God's salvation this morning? All right, that's pretty good. It could have been better, but I'll take that. We love God's salvation. It says, if you love God's salvation, then what you should do, and I'm picturing this from the, you know, the top of your vocal cords, you should say, let God be magnified. Now, do you know what David is saying here in this psalm when he says, let God be magnified? To magnify something is to enlarge it, to make it big, to shine the spotlight on it. And that's really what the word, by the way, the word glorify means. It means to shine the spotlight on God, to make him radiant, to make him beautiful, to make him big, to make him something significant in your life. To magnify God is to make a big deal out of him and who he is and what he's done for you in your life. Now the question is, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked that question because that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to be talking about how do you magnify God? How do you make a big deal out of God? And the first thing we're going to suggest today is that you need to put God in the middle of your problems. Now, while it is true today that there are some people who only call on the Lord when things go wrong, I've also noticed that just the opposite is often true as well. A lot of people have a tendency to think that when trouble comes, it must be because God's on vacation. He's sort of checked out. He's sort of busy with other things as he's running planet Earth, and he's not really interested in my problem or problems today. And so we think that God has kind of left us on our own. And most Christians know that that's not true theologically, but knowing that that's not true doesn't prevent us from sometimes feeling abandoned by God. Now, this was even the case with a great man of God named David, King David. David sometimes went through problems in his life, went through situations in his life where he was crying out to God in the midst of his problems and felt like God was a million miles away, felt like God had abandoned him and really just didn't think about David's problems. And so David would cry out in the midst of his problems, really questioning God, sort of doubting God, even though he was called a man after God's own heart. That didn't mean that David didn't have his doubts. Maybe you're familiar with one of them in Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1. David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, a lot of us here this morning, we usually associate those words exactly with Jesus Christ on the cross when he cried that out. But it was originally said by David. It was dualistic in nature. A lot of things could be said about David are also true about Jesus Christ. But it was David that originally said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I want you to know today that you shouldn't feel too bad if you've ever said that or thought that in your life, because it's not a sin to feel forsaken by God. If that's true, if it was a sin, then Jesus sinned when he cried that out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that Jesus didn't sin, so he had the feeling momentarily because of the weight of sin on his shoulders as he's dying on the cross for all of humanity, there was the feeling, momentary feeling of abandonment. He felt like he was forsaken. So, but that's not a sin to have that feeling. We cross the line into sin when that feeling of abandonment causes us to take actions that demonstrate that we've set God aside and now we're going to figure this out on our own. We're going to take care of the problem. We're going to deal with it instead of letting God help us to deal with it. And Jesus didn't do that. Because remember, when he was on the cross, he could have called legions of angels to come and rescue him. He could have taken himself down from the cross, but he didn't do that, having the feeling of abandonment, but he still felt like, instead of using his own powers, that he ultimately needed to submit to the plan of God and to go through the pain and suffer for all of humanity, because that was God's will. But when problems come, here's the thing. Here's what we need to do. We need to concentrate on God more than ever before. We need to put God right in the middle of our problems. I want you to notice with me this fourth verse again in Psalm chapter 70. David says, let those who love your salvation, let them say, let God be magnified. And then, at the end of verse 5, he says, but I am poor and needy. David understood, you see, that when the going gets tough, the tough go to God. He was saying, I have the feeling and I am going through situations that cause me to think that I am poor and needy, and yet I will still let God be magnified. Someone once said, pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. Amen. Think about that. Pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. What that means is that when you're going through difficult times, that is precisely the time to focus on God more than ever. Instead of running away from God, we should be running to God. We should be getting on our knees and praying. We should send out some knee mail to God. That is, get on our knees and pray to God and put him right in the middle of our problem, put him right in the middle of our circumstances, put him right in the middle of our lives. Instead of magnifying the problem, what we need to do is magnify the God who can solve the problem, who can help us through the problem. Instead of telling God how big your problem is, you need to tell your problem how big your God is. You need to magnify him. You need to make him larger than ever in your prayers, in your words, in your life. Put him right in the middle of your problems. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on God's ability to see you through the problem. Listen to what it says here now in this other verse in Psalm chapter 71 and verse 20. Listen, it says, though you've shown me, David is saying this, he says, though you've shown me, God, great and severe troubles. Now see, God will show you that in life, amen? You've seen some, right? He says, though you've shown me great and severe troubles, he says, you shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. That's where David felt he was. If he were to go to the depths of the earth, God has even a long enough arm to reach down and pull him up and lift him up again. That's what David is saying. So I urge you all, take your eyes off the problem and put your eyes on God's ability to overcome the problem. If you do that, you're going to see a real big difference in your life. Put God in the middle of your problems. Here's the second thing that you can do today to make a big deal out of God. Number two, put God at the center of your conversations. I want you to allow me to read a few Psalms here in chapter 71. I'll begin with verse 15. Notice how David is putting God at the center of his conversations. He says in Psalm 71 and verse 15, he says, my mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. David says, I have come. 71 verse 16, he says, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. O sovereign Lord, I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Down to verse 18 in chapter 71, David says, I will declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And then in verse 24, he says, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. You know, you can really tell a lot about a person by listening to their dialogue, listening to the way they talk, and listening and finding out, maybe as you listen to someone, try to find out, you know, what is their favorite topic of discussion? What is it that they like to talk about a lot? I know there are some serious issues in life that we have to deal with. And so we often talk about our career. We talk about our finances. We talk about maybe some struggles we're having in our marriage. We talk about health issues. We talk about cancer is a big one. There are a lot of big issues that we talk about in life. But God needs to be at the center of all of those discussions that you have. I remember years ago, a good friend of mine in Southern California, Mike Agnew, he had a son that was born with a lot of health issues when he was born. And one of the things that he had was, I never really thought about something like this. The baby was born without a rectum. And so they're deciding, what are they going to do? How are they going to do all the surgeries that'll be necessary to, you know, get this child up to where, you know, the normal kind of situation that a child should have in that bodily function. And so they had to work through a lot of things. And I remember seeing Mike's faith be challenged by all of those things and his heart going out to his newborn boy, and it was just a real struggle for him. But I also remembered, and it was a beautiful thing, I remembered our discussions together and how he would talk about the next doctor's appointment they have and all the issues that they had to go through. But every time I remember him inserting God into his sentences, saying, well, God will help us through this. I know God's still got a plan. I know that God is going to give the doctors the right knowledge and the right skill to perform these surgeries. And I know that God is holding our family together. And he just could not get God out of his conversation. And that was a very good thing for him to do in that moment of crisis. Because, you see, your conversations shape your character. They make you who you are. Even in the midst of life's problems, it's impossible to truly talk about God and be negative. Try it sometime. You really shouldn't be able to do that, to talk about God and be negative. You know some people who can't even finish a sentence without being critical or saying something negative, right? You know a lot of those kinds of people. In fact, the more they talk, the more negative they become. And you just listen, you think, oh, I wish there was an off button here. I could turn this negativity off. Again, their conversations, you see, are shaping their character. But when we talk about life's struggles, even life's good times, whatever life gives us, we always need to find a way to insert God into those sentences. And in the 71st Psalm, hope you're open here, to the 71st Psalm, David is saying over and over again in chapter 71, I will speak of God's righteousness. I will speak of his salvation. I will speak of his mighty acts. I will speak of his awesome power. I will, no matter what, I will magnify the name of the Lord. Think about God's righteousness and his salvation and his mighty deeds. What do all of these things have in common? They are positive. They are uplifting. They are empowering. They are God-centered. And when God is in the center of your conversations, and when you speak of all these things that are important to you about who God is, God will lift you up. He will take you from the bottom of the pit, and he will bring you up. It's impossible to talk about God's goodness and his power and be negative. It's impossible to talk about his salvation and then continue to be critical of someone else. The more you talk about the good things that God has done for you, the better you will become. This isn't psychological pep talk right here that I'm giving to you. I'm simply saying, and you just test me one time, try me and see if this isn't true. When you learn to speak of God and you learn to talk about him constantly, look how your life will be different. I guarantee it is true. Your conversations shape your character. Some Christians worry that people aren't going to like you when you get all religious and everything, when God is in the middle of your sentences. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't insert God in our conversations, then we're just going to be talking about a lot of other things that don't really won't benefit us. So we don't insert God because we think we're going to turn people off. But let me tell you something. That's the devil's lie. You're not going to turn people off. That's the devil's lie to get you and I as Christians to get God out of our conversations, out of our vocabulary. I personally have not known very many people in my life who were put off and upset and offended about hearing a story that I have told about God coming through for me in a time of crisis. They may not agree with what I'm saying. They might not exactly like what I'm saying. But let me tell you, they were not offended. Do you know that when you start offending non-believers, it's not when you talk about how good God is, but when you talk about how bad they are. That's when you're going to offend them. That's not my job, by the way, telling people about how bad they are, right? You know whose job that is? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Jesus said in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will come. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and the judgment. That's not my job. I'm going to tell them how good God is. I'm going to let them see. There's already enough negativity in the world, amen? They're going to see that. They understand their badness. They don't need me to point it out. The Holy Spirit will point that out in time. But I'm going to talk about how good God is, and I am going to magnify the name of the Lord. I'm going to make a big deal about God. Is that all right? That's what we need to do. We're here to magnify God, not magnify sin. Not magnify the devil, not magnify the enemy, but here to magnify God. So put God at the center of your conversations. Tell others how wonderful He is and make a big deal out of God. Here's our third thing, and then we'll conclude with this morning. If you're going to make a big deal out of God, not only put Him in the middle of your problems and at the center of your conversations, but number three, make God the target of your praises. I hope that each of you here this morning, when you leave this building, and you say, and Brother George led us in some great praise songs today. There was a lot of, the word praise was in a lot of those songs. I hope those words of praises don't just stop in this building here, and you go out into the treasury of the world and all that the devil's going to throw at you, and you forget to continue to praise God all week long. I hope you didn't just finish this morning. I hope you're going to praise Him all week long. Take a look at a few verses here in this 71st Psalm. David says in verse 6, he says, my praise shall be what? You like that word, continually? My praise will be continually of you. David said in verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise and your glory. How long? Few hours today, right? No, he said all day long. In verse 14, David goes on to say, I will praise you, how long? More and more and more. It goes off the end of the page. The most basic way that you praise God is simply to say it. I praise you, God. I magnify you, God. I exalt you. I'm impressed by you, God. You are an awesome God. You are holy and merciful. You're more than I deserve. God loves to hear that. You need to hear that. You need to hear in your ears, your mouth saying that to God so that God then can be lifted up and that He can lift you up. You're an awesome God. Make it a point to say these things throughout the day. Your mouth needs to be full of His praises continually, more and more. And I'll tell you something, you're going to have to remind yourself to do this. We, unfortunately, are creatures of habit. And so usually we mostly, I mean, every once in a while we're good at doing things spontaneously, especially if you're female. But usually we need a habit to be able to really engage in something consistently. We need to develop a habit. Praise is a habit that you develop. And so what you need to do is memorize some of these psalms, some of these verses that we're talking about today. Memorize short praise verses. Read God's word. Pray to God. Sing a song all day long. Put God in the middle of your thoughts and in your words and make Him the target of your praises. As I said before, you're going to make a big deal out of something every single day. And so make sure that you're giving God the credit for all the good in your life today. You're not praising Him just for the good feeling that it gives you. That's going to happen. What you're praising Him for is simply because, guess what? He deserves it. He is worthy of our praise. Some people think that the purpose of praise is, you know, to walk away with a good feeling. But that's not really the point. I mean, it is going to feel good, but no doubt about that. But that's just the starting point. We praise God, church. We praise Him simply because He's worthy of our praise. And giving Him the praise that He deserves, it gets our mind off of ourselves. and off our own little, off of our own little puny problems that we have, and on to the one who really matters, which is God. And here's the paradox. The more that you praise God, the clearer that your perspective becomes, and the more understanding you have about life and what God is doing on this planet today, and you have a settledness within the soul, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and a fulfillment and a contentment that the devil cannot take away. So one of the ways that you can make a big deal out of God is to develop the daily habit of praise. If you want to make a big deal out of God in your life, start where it's toughest. Look at the problems that you're having in your life right now. Put God right in the middle of those problems, asking Him to demonstrate His power in your situation, believing that He will demonstrate His power, asking Him to give you the strength and the wisdom to work through all of the difficulties that you face. You trust Him for the results, and you trust Him to be near. And to make a big deal out of God, you need to also put Him at the center of your conversations, creatively finding ways throughout the day to insert God's name into your sentences and into your conversations. And finally, to make a big deal out of God, you need to develop the habit of praise and give Him the praises that He deserves each and every day. The way that you magnify God is by keeping God present in your life all day long, minute by minute, hour by hour, throughout the day, thinking of God, turning every problem into a situation that you take to Him in prayer, seeking to glorify Him in every conversation that you have with others, and showering Him with words and praises and songs throughout the day as you magnify God. And the result is, here's the result. Let me just put it real simple today. The result of all of this is that you're going to live in your sweet spot, and God's going to take care of you. And you'll be ready one day when this short life is over. You'll be blessed by others. You'll be a blessing to others. You'll experience God's power, and you'll help others have that same connection with God as well. And you'll pass the day, regardless of the struggles that you face, knowing that God is with you and that God is pleased to be magnified in your life. As we close today, is God present in your life all day long? He's only present in your life if you, first of all, come to Him for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? And today, are you saying, I want to turn my life, I'm not a Christian now, I want to turn my life over to God. I want to not only put my faith in Jesus, but confess before this audience today that He is God's Son. I'm willing today to repent of my sins. I want to then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to wash those sins away, to begin that new life in Christ. And then begin a life of continually shining the spotlight on God. And if you're already a Christian today, let me ask you today, are you faithfully living for Jesus Christ? Or have you strayed and maybe you need to return, confessing sin and asking for His forgiveness so that God then can be present with you all day long? Let's stand to sing our invitation song.